This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, but the biggest story is not a baseball story, even though we're at the end of June, but the NCAA BCS has announced today that there will now be, not for a few years, which we'll get into in a minute, that's absurd, but there will now be a four-team Division I football playoff. I think the last sport in the history of college not to have a playoff, just the politics, I guess, of the bowl system has really overrun college football in the last 30, 40, 60 years, whatever it's been. But now they announced today or late yesterday that there will be a four-team playoff. Of course, the joke is it will not happen. The first championship game in the BCS four-team playoff will not take place until January of the year, 2015. And again, the games are going to be played on a rotating basis among six current bowl sites, which will rotate from year to year. Why they couldn't do that, if not this coming year, then certainly next year. Why we have to wait for the whole 2013 season and the whole 2012 season into 2013, the whole 2013 season into 2014, and then the whole 2014 season where the championship game will be played in January of 2015. Again, change is slow. This is certainly a step in the right direction. Is it better? Would it be better with an 8 team or a 16 team or a 32 team? Well, we can talk about that. Obviously, the big problem, the big concern, aside from extra games, I think that's a big concern myself, from an injury, concussion, college kids, 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, etc. The big concern would be cheapening the regular season. And I think they have a point. The regular season in college basketball really is all but meaningless. I mean, once upon a time, go back to the 70s and before, the mid-70s and before, you had to win your conference to make it into the NCAA basketball tournament. But that all changed. Now you're playing for seeding most of the time. You have 8-9 teams from a conference like the Big East sometimes make the tournament. So that ship sailed long ago. But I think there's some justification to keeping the football season relevant during the regular season. The problem with football, of course, is you lose one game for the most part, not always, see Alabama this year, but for the most part, you're out of it. You lose two games, you're definitely out of it. Now with a four-team playoff, there's going to be a committee. The membership of the committee is not quite clear, although they're analogizing it to the NCAA Basketball Selection Committee. They're saying they'll have about 15 members. Who's actually going to be on the committee? Well, it's probably going to be current athletic directors and commissioners, maybe some ex-coaches. Again, nobody knows for sure. Where will the championship game be every year? It'll be like they do with the Super Bowl. I guess they'll have bowl sites like the Rose Bowl or the Cotton Bowl pick or submit, you know, their application, and there'll be a selection every year who's going to get the top college game in 2015 and 2016, et cetera. Cities will bid on it like they bid on the Super Bowl. And apparently the semifinals will either take place on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, depending on the days of the week. Obviously, you know, they don't want to compete against the NFL. So if that day is on a Sunday, you won't have college games that Sunday. You might have them Saturday. The final is planned to be the following Monday, a week from Monday after the semifinals. Obviously, the whole world will tune into that game. And you really finally will have a winner on the field as opposed to a winner at the polls. You know, should Alabama have been the national champion last year? Well, you know, you can make a case, yes, but LSU had already beaten them. You know the whole argument there. This will decide. Now, look, does the best team win the NCAA basketball tournament? Does the best college basketball team win that tournament every year? Of course not. And it'll be the same here. But there will only be four teams. Whoever comes in fifth and sixth will be complaining they should have been in the top four, sometimes with good reason, sometimes without. But at least the national champion in football will finally overcoming the politics of the bowl system, be decided on the field, and I think that's the most important thing. Could you make a pitch for eight? Again, the problem, this isn't basketball, where you play an extra four, five, six games in the tournament, doesn't really matter. If you play an extra two, three, four games in the tournament in football when the season is 12 games, well, that's a problem. You saw the anti-expansion in terms of number of games you heard from the NFL players, where the teams, the owners, the establishment wanted to go from 16 to 18 games and said, oh, it's not really an increase in games. We'll play 18 games and two exhibition games. That equals 20. Now we're playing 16 and four exhibition games. Well, nobody believes that, because you can't equate exhibition games with actual professional football games that count. Two different animals. So the players were dead set against that, as we found out this past year. And I don't think they're going to go to an 18-game season in the NFL anytime soon. Keep in mind, 50 years ago, it was 12 games. Maybe it was 60 years ago, it was 12 games. Then it went to 14. Now it's 16. But that's a lot of extra games. And again, with all the concussion fears and the short careers already, I don't think they want to do that in the BCS in college. And if you believe the 14 BCS playoff is simply one bowl game like every other team would play, and then that final game, so you're only looking at one extra game for these teams, well, that's not such a bad thing. But if you go eight games, 18 playoff, 16 team playoff, if you go two extra games or three extra games or four extra games, well, that'll be a problem, again, for kids from 18 to 21 or 22 or 23 years old. And we still don't have we have a grasp now on this whole concussion thing, but we really don't have all the knowledge that we need. Suffice it to say that people are getting concussions all the time, and we still don't even know about it. And those concussions over time can really damage someone to the point of dementia and death, as we're finding out now, on almost a weekly, if not monthly, basis. You hear a new story every month. So I think this is a fantastic thing. Obviously, we've been screaming for years, you know, BCS, take the C out, and that's what you've got. A lot of people have been screaming about this. Is this the end game? I don't know, but it's certainly a good start. Again, I think they should start, if not after the 2012 season, for sure they should start after the 2013 season. To wait till after the 2014 season is absurd. But again, you're overcoming a system of politics and presidents and athletic directors. But generally speaking, it's amazing to me that it's gone this far. You know, 50 years from now, people will look back and say, look at these idiots in the late 20th century. How did they let this go on for 50, 60, 70 years? To me, it's like the shot clock in college basketball. You can still watch film of Phil Fort in the 1980s dribbling out the clock for the last 5 minutes of a game. How could you allow college basketball to be like that? Well, it was like that for a long time. And as usual, change is very, very slow. But finally, the BCS announces there'll be a four-game playoff starting after the 2014 college football season. Let's switch now quickly. We're going to get to all the baseball. But in Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal won his first-round match in straight sets over Thomas Bellucci. Serena Williams won her first-round match in straight sets. Nadal, the number two seed. Serena on the women's side, the number six seed. Today, Federer and Nadal play their second-round match. Maria Sharapova, the number one seed, is coming off a French Open win. She plays her second-round match today as well. That's kind of the highlights at Wimbledon. This Thursday is the NBA draft. We'll get into that a little more in the next few days. News out of Indiana is that Larry Bird is going to step down. A very interesting dynamic that Larry Bird is going to step down as the president of the Indiana Pacers. Now, you heard the other day that ex-Knicks president Donnie Walsh, who, of course, was with the Pacers forever, is returning to the Pacers front office. You have to think there's something going on between Larry Bird and Donnie Walsh over the years, that Walsh shows up and Larry Bird is expected to leave. Also, David Morway resigned as general manager of the Indiana Pacers as well. So a lot of changes in Indiana. They do have a good young team there. But at the higher level, apparently Larry Bird is out, the GM David Morway is out, and Donnie Walsh coming back. You'll recall he kind of left the Knicks under suspicious circumstances, saying it was his health. But he really, maybe he wanted to, but he didn't, you know, slaughter James Dolan on the way out of New York or slaughter Isaiah Thomas from years ago on the way out of the door in New York. Obviously doing the right thing for himself, now rehired by the Indiana Pacers. A few other things. Ben Gordon of the Pistons, so is traded to the Gordon and a protected number one pick to the Charlotte Bobcats for Corey Maggette. He goes to Detroit. Now, Gordon, of course, is a scorer. The Bobcats need many things, including scoring. They really need a number one pick is what they need, or a few of them. But in any event, Ben Gordon goes to the Bobcats. Corey Maggette goes to the Pistons. Gordon was not happy in Detroit, but he is a big-time scorer, and that's certainly one of the things. I mean, the Bobcats need everything, but that's one of the things that the Bobcats need. A little hockey now. Hall of Fame announced its latest class, Joe Sakic, Matt Sundin, Pavel Bure, and Adam Oates, all elected to the Hall of Fame. Interestingly, and I think all four are excellent candidates who deserve induction, there might be some dispute about Bure, I think, although, you know, a meteoric player, an excellent player, led the league in scoring goals three different years. So I think he deserves it, but we'll see if there are people really denying his candidacy. But the interesting thing is Adam Oates, who played 19 seasons in the NHL, who did make the Hall of Fame, was announced yesterday. He also on the same day was announced as the replacement for Dale Hunter as the Washington Capitals head coach. Now, that's fascinating stuff because Hunter did a great job in turning around the attitude of the Washington Capitals, of actually turning Alex Ovechkin into a player who actually played some defense. But Hunter, for whatever reason, decided he did not want to come back as the coach of Washington. He did a great job, I thought. I thought he was a candidate for Coach of the Year. But Oates is now replacing him. And interestingly, back around 2000, I'm not sure of the exact year, but Adam Oates had replaced Dale Hunter as the captain of the Washington Capitals. And now 11, 12 years later, maybe even more, Adam Oates is replacing Dale Hunter as the coach of the Washington Capitals. Oates was an assistant with the Devils this past year, so an amazing day for him. He not only makes it into the Hockey Hall of Fame, he also is named the new head coach of the Washington Capitals, replacing Dale Hunter, who, again, about a dozen years ago, he had replaced as the captain of the Washington Capitals. I can't believe anybody would have a problem with Joe Sakic or Matt Sundin getting elected into the Hockey Hall of Fame. But that's the class, the new class in the Hockey Hall of Fame: Sakic, Sundin, Pavel Bure, and Adam Oates, who has, I would think, one of the greatest professional days of his life, getting a head coaching job and getting elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame all on the same day. I mean, that's a pretty incredible daily double, if you will. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. One football note before we get to the baseball. Long interview with Drew Brees yesterday on ESPN Today where, look, he's sticking up for his team, but he said, you know, these are heinous accusations. Where is the truth? The NFL has not been transparent. In this whole process with, of course, Bountygate and Jonathan Vilma, the NFL responding sent out a statement that says the evidence is overwhelming against these guys, multiple sources with firsthand knowledge telling us about Bountygate, documentary evidence supporting it. Again, the problem here, I think, is Roger Goodell is the judge, jury, and executioner. I mean, and that's what he's done to give these guys these suspensions. Presumably, they'll all be upheld. He had left the record open when Vilma had walked out of the hearing. I think it was last week, early last week now. We'll have to see what happens. But again, there's just a basic problem. To me, it's not an appeal when you, in quotes, appeal to the same guy who ruled on the original decision. That's not an appeal. Appeal goes to a higher authority or at least a different authority, and that's not what happened here. One baseball note, good news for the Yankee haters and everybody else in the AL East, CC Sabathia, who, of course, we all viewed just to be a horse going back to those days in Milwaukee where he pitched on 3 days rest for what seemed like about a month, you'll recall. But he's on the DL now with the Yankees with a groin injury, expected to miss at least two starts. And, you know, I think that's a problem for the Yankees, frankly. But other people say, oh, it just finally evens up the score. Because Sabathia has been a beast. I mean, has been a great pitcher for the Yankees, not a good pitcher. And the Yankees obviously need him at the top of their rotation, although they are getting very good starting pitching now. Sabathia will be on the DL and will miss at least two starts. Let's get to a few Major League Baseball games yesterday. No more interleague play. Toronto goes up to Boston to play the Red Sox. Daisuke Matsuzaka back pitching, pitched really well yesterday, 5 2/3, 6 hits, 1 run earned. He doesn't get the win, is when he left they were trailing 1-0, but the Red Sox get 3 in the 7th, 2 in the 8th, Red Sox 5, Blue Jays 1. Salta Lamacchia with the big hit, his 14th home run of the year. Pedroia with 2 RBIs. Ortiz having an unbelievable year again, 2 for 4 with a run scored. He's batting 307. Red Sox 5, Blue Jays 1. Miller gets the win in relief. He's 2-0. Perez takes the loss in relief. He's 2-2. Davis and Lynn both had 2 hits for the Blue Jays. The only home run in the game, Salta Lamacchia, is 14th of the year. Red Sox 5, Blue Jays 1. Red Sox now 39-35 after that disastrous start. Blue Jays now 38-36, which again is no good in the AL East. Cleveland and Yankee Stadium to play the Yankees. Cleveland always has trouble with the Yankees. Yesterday, frankly, no exception. Phil Hughes, an unbelievable start. 8 innings pitched, 6 hits, no runs, 1 walk. 4 strikeouts. He gets the win. He's 8-6. Masterson takes the loss. He's 4-7 as the Yankees win 6-4 over the Cleveland Indians. Now, Cleveland's in the mix in the Central, but again, they do have problems with the Yankees. But there was an interesting play that has generated a lot of debate in New York. Dwayne Wise, the reserve left fielder for the Yankees, literally goes into the stands to try and catch the ball. And if you've seen the replay by now, hopefully you have, you do see the ball kind of go into the glove, or at least hit the glove of Wise as he gets lost in the crowd. Unfortunately for the umpire and the Cleveland Indians, the umpire called the batter out without looking to see if Wise had the ball. I mean, just a bizarre play. Hanahan had hit the ball. Wise went in and it looked like he caught it, but believe it or not, the ball rolled, I'll say, 4 or 5 feet away from Wise, and the guy actually picked up the ball. So while Wise is coming out of the stands after the ump call, after the out call by ump Mike DeMauro, the fan's holding up the ball. I mean, it's just a bizarre situation, and it hurt Cleveland because they had a man on third. Now, Mike DeMauro, the umpire, said after the game, quote, in hindsight, I should have asked him to show me the ball, close quote. In hindsight, well, again, every ump worth his salt, when a guy goes into the stands or a guy jumps over the wall, has to see the ball before he calls the guy ump, before he calls him out. In hindsight, that's absurd. And now Wise, you know, what's he supposed to do? You know, some people are saying he should have showed the guy that he didn't catch it, but I don't think so. Wise ran in. It was the third out. He ran in. He didn't have the ball in his hand. He ran off the field. I just don't think he's supposed to show that he doesn't have the ball to the ump. Obviously, it's the ump's job to ask him to show him the ball. But then, and again, that could have turned the game around. Obviously, Hanahan should have remained at bat. He was thrown out of the game as he was going out to the field for arguing. And, you know, would you like the umps to show? Clearly, it was a terrible call. Would you like the umps to use their discretion and not throw the guy out? I mean, that's the problem with these umps. We'll go to another play in the Met game a little later. Same deal. But this was a horrific call. Hurt the Indians. Helped the Yankees. Yankees 6, Indians 4. A-Rod hits his 13th home run of the year. Nick Swisher, 2 for 4, 2 runs scored, batting 272. Granderson, 1 for 4, 2 RBIs and a run scored, only batting 243. Jeter gets 2 hits. He's hanging around at 305. I'm going to have to look at some of Jeter's stats. I think he's fallen off a cliff the last 25 games, batting average-wise. For the Indians, Lopez hits his 4th of the year. Johnny Damon still playing, 2-for-4 with an RBI, played left field yesterday for Cleveland, only hitting .212. You know, I think he's about, I saw an article about him the other day, I think he's about 150 hits away from 3,000. Now, he hasn't been starting regularly for Cleveland, but he does get a start yesterday. Damon's still a good player in my book, played left field, got two hits, certainly has the experience. The Indians will be, or are right now, in a division race. Indians 37-36, Yankees 45-28. The Yankees have taken off their 14-3, their last 17. Phil Hughes, again, very good, no runs, 8 innings pitched. Masterson takes the loss, he's 4-7. Soriano with another save. His ERA is 1.63, scoreless. Well, he only pitched one out, but he does get the save because he closed the game. Cleveland did come up with 4 in the ninth to make it a game, but Soriano came in to get the last out because it was, at that point, a save situation. He does get the save. Yankees 6, Cleveland Indians 4. A few other games to look at. Albert Pujols goes deep now. Angels 7, Orioles 3. Angels 41-33, Orioles 41-32. Wilson gets the win. He's 9-4. Matisse takes the loss. He's 5-9. Pujols 2-for-5 with a home run and two RBIs. Average up to .261 again. Nothing near what Albert Pujols has done in the past, but it is going north. And he did hit his numbers now at 12 home runs, 46 RBIs. And again, you got a few weeks till the All-Star break, so Pujols is starting to come around after that horrifically bad start where he had no home runs in the month of April and was hitting like in the 190s. Trumbo hit his 18th. Peter Bourgeois hit his 3rd. Hester hit his 2nd. 4 home runs for the Angels. Angels 7. Orioles 3. Betemit hit his 10th for the Orioles. Pierce hit his 2nd. Benemit with 2 hits, Pierce with 2 hits, but not enough. Angels 7, Orioles 3. Look, you like the Orioles and what they're doing, but I think it's a true feeling they just can't sustain it for the whole year. But they've got a good young team, so we'll see what happens. Tigers in Texas to play the Rangers. Yu Darvish was very good, 7 innings pitched. Well, it was good. 7 innings pitched, 4 runs all earned, but he does get 10 strikeouts. He does get his 10th win of the year. He's 10-4. Smiley takes the loss for the Tigers. He's 2-3. Joe Nathan gets the save. Nathan in the news a lot in New York. He is the most famous baseball graduate of Stony Brook, who made a run to the World Series. And, in fact, the field is named Joe Nathan Field at Stony Brook because he donated like $500,000. But Nathan, now the closer for Texas, gets the save yesterday. Kinsler hits his 8th of the year. Josh Hamilton with his 24th for Texas. Prince Fielder with his 12th for the Tigers. Rangers 7, Tigers 5. Rangers 46-29. Tigers trying to get back into it. 2 games under .500 in the AL Central. A couple of games in the National League of note, the endless rivalry, Dodgers and Giants. Yesterday, Vogelsong, unbelievable for the Giants. 7 innings pitched, 7 hits, no runs. He gets the win. He's 7-3. Clayton Kershaw, the defending Cy Young Award winner, didn't pitch poorly, but didn't pitch good enough to win. 6 innings pitched, 2 runs, both earned, 8 strikeouts, 2.74 ERA, but he takes the loss. He's 5-4 with a 2.74 ERA. Garcia gets the save for the Giants. Cabrera hits his 7th of the year. Melky Cabrera hits his 7th of the year for the Giants. That was the key blow as the Giants get 2 in the 4th. Pablo Sandoval singled in the other run. Giants 2, Dodgers nothing. And the Dodgers, who once had a commanding lead in the NL West, now hold a 1-game lead over the Giants. Giants beat the Dodgers 2-0. One other game to look at. Cardinals beat the Marlins 5-2. Kyle Loesch now 7-2. Zambrano, what a nightmare game for him. Not because he pitched poorly, but because he gave up 5 unearned runs in the first inning, and the Marlins could never come back from that. Zambrano takes the loss. He's 4-6. Mott gets the save for the Cardinals. Cardinals now 40-35. Marlins, again, seemingly going nowhere. They've been up and down. They're 34-40 now. The East is a tough division. Giancarlo Stanton hits his 17th of the year for Miami. Yadier Molina hits his 12th of the year for St. Louis. Cardinals 5, Marlins 2. Looking at the TV tonight, a lot of baseball, or even this afternoon. Indians at the Yankees, 1 o'clock on the YES Network nationally. Mets at the Cubs. The Mets with two horrific losses to the Cubs. 2 o'clock on SNY. That Mets play I just wanted to talk about briefly. You were talking about the umpires losing their heads. Josh Tully picks off Clevinger at first. The throw clearly beats him. Ike Davis goes to tag him. The runner moves his hand, but Ike Davis still tags him before he touches the base. The ump calls him safe. Ike Davis loses his mind, actually puts his glove on the umpire for 3 or 4 seconds. A big no-no. He gets tossed. But, of course, on replay, it was clear that the runner was out, was picked off. The Mets lose to the Cubs 5-3. The other baseball today, Major League Baseball Network, 1:30 Eastern, Blue Jays at the Red Sox. 8 o'clock tonight, the ESPN game, Detroit Tigers at the Texas Rangers, 8 o'clock on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.